I'm sorry it took so long, but here we are, and hopefully it won't take that long again.
Sunday morning, New York sports fans. Of course, as you just heard, my name is Danielle McCartan. I'll be talking all things New York sports with you right up until 5 or 6. It's 6 o'clock here in New York City and beyond. 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock. My mistake. Thanks for tuning in. You got Nick Theodoro and I live right here together in Lower Manhattan. And you know that phone number, 888-808-1019. Call me up and be part of the conversation, and let me be among the first to wish a happy Father's Day to you and to yours. And maybe I was thinking, it was a suggestion from one of my listeners on Facebook, Jerry from Florida, suggested, Danielle, why don't you talk about great games you've been to with your dad on Father's Day? And I thought, that's a good idea. Maybe we could weave that in throughout the show. The most memorable game you've ever gone to with your dad. And I think it might be cool. And mine might just be being at Jeter's last game with my dad, who is a big Mets fan. But even he appreciated the greatness of that game and of that moment. But if you ask him, he'd probably tell you the Giants at Buccaneers playoff game that we went to. Long before I was ever an employee here, we together, like years before, we won a trivia contest from the fan to send us there. And as we walked out of Raymond James Stadium, he says, well, Danielle, the Giants live another week. Well, that season, they lived another week long enough to win the Super Bowl. You know, I was locked into the Yankees game the other night, the night that Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart threw out the ceremonial first pitches. Two strikes, might I add. Is there anything these guys are not good at? But the interview they had in the booth was pretty good. And it was Paul O'Neill, and I thought he was the perfect person to have in that booth on that particular night. Obviously, O'Neill was a major factor in the Yankees dynasty, which ended up being a team that won three World Series in a row, 98, 99, and 2000. So O'Neill, on the eve of the first ever Knicks parade, told both Brunson and Hart, and here was the direct quote. I actually went back on the TV and wrote it down in my notes because I knew I was coming on with you, and I always have to bring my A game. And the direct quote was from Paul O'Neill to Brunson and Hart, enjoy it tomorrow because right after it, New York is going to expect another one. There was like a pause, and then he repeated it to underscore his point. So in tonight's open, I was inspired by that, Paul O'Neill. Thank you very much. I wanted to explore two questions. Number one, do you expect another one from the Knicks? And two, can they do it? Can the Knicks repeat? And you heard the clip, James Dolan apologizing for it taking so long, and you know it won't take that long again. You heard it. Nick played it right to open the show. Can the New York Knicks, who finished this year's playoffs with the largest point differential in NBA history, can the Knicks do it again? Can the Knicks repeat as NBA champions next season? I'm actually typing this on Twitter right now. Can the Knicks repeat? Can and no, how about will? Will the Knicks repeat as NBA champions next season? And if you want to get your vote in, you can go ahead and do that. I'm going to put yes on top, no on the bottom. And I always love like the instant gratification of this, but I am going to I'm going to leave this up for 24 full hours, which will kill me to do, but there it is. Will the Knicks repeat as NBA champions next season? Yes or no? I think to me, I think the answer is yes to the question, do I expect another run from the Knicks? And yes to the other one, too. Can the Knicks repeat? Yes. I think this NBA Finals this year exposed the need to have not one, but two legitimate contenders on your team. For example, Victor Wembanyama, you know from last week, we don't call him Wemby on this show because we are not on a nickname basis. His name is Victor Wembanyama, the biggest, tallest baby in the world. And he basically doubled his regular season minutes during his playoff games. Like, he admitted that he ran out of gas. Why? Because the talent and the depth at that position behind him was not good enough. Whereas the Knicks were fortified with both Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson. And I hate to break it to you, but the Spurs, they're not going anywhere. They're not. And it took those two Knicks in tandem to put the clamps on him. There wasn't one single game where Wembanyama was able to drastically alter the outcome of that game. And why not? Again, because of the strong center play from both Cat and Mitch. That part, any basketball fan can figure out. So what's the problem? The problem is that Mitchell Robinson is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season with a contract expectation that might be too rich for the Knicks' blood, believe it or not. And here's James Dolan sitting right here in this studio talking with Craig and Chris the other day in a clip that has garnered over 1.5 million views on Twitter alone. It has been quoted everywhere, sometimes without credit, which I think is ridiculous. But here is a great question by Craig Carton about the future of these Knicks.
Similar to what the Yankees did this year, a run it back kind of sense? Or do you think there might be potentially, based on individual contracts, that while the core will be the core, do you think there's a chance that we have 2, 3, 4 player turnover or no?
First off, most of our guys are on a contract.
Right.
We have a couple guys who are not. If we could bring back the whole team, right, exactly as it is, I think we, you know, why wouldn't you, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we're going to be able to.
Just contractually.
Right? Just contractually.
And some guys are going to get bigger paydays, and good for them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're willing to stretch, right? But there's certain things in the NBA that you have to be, you know, suicidal to do, and we're not going to do those.
Right.
One of them is called the second apron.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot go into the second apron.
Got it.
But that's up to Leon, right?
He's making all the decisions. You're just stroking checks, right?
I'm just telling him how big of a check I can write. Right. I'll write as big of a check as possible, but I can't write a check that goes into the second apron.
Got it. We've had a pretty successful year financially as well.
Guess who would be the biggest casualty if the Knicks don't go into the second apron? Mitchell Robinson. Is what Dolan is telling Craig and Chris a negotiation tactic? Because I know that the Knicks and Robinson have had initial contact in negotiations. How deep, how far, I'm not sure, but they have been in talks. So Ken Dolan, by saying those couple of sentences right here on WFAN, those couple sentences which reverberated throughout NBA circles across the world, can he be communicating to Robinson's camp not to reach for the sky, bullseye? Get it? The Toy Story reference. And at the same time, simultaneously, could he be communicating to Kat's camp and Josh Hart's camp that they're going to have to sign a lesser extension to be able to keep Robinson on the roster? To me, there's no doubt about it. It was a very smart move on Dolan's part. And if the Knicks are the destination to be, the destination to run it back next year, it's clear and obvious that they're going to need Mitchell Robinson to accomplish that goal. And by stating that he will not, under any circumstance, move into the second apron, right here on these airwaves, it puts everyone on watch. It puts the pressure on Cat. It puts the pressure on Hart, who are both extension eligible, to take less now to keep Robinson aboard now. Remember, he's an unrestricted free agent. And naturally, you want to know if there's any other cheaper options to replace Robinson. And on the market, to be honest, I'm really not interested in going out into the marketplace. Mostly because which team is going to want to help to strengthen the defending champions. None of them. Teams are going to look to fleece Leon Rose and the Knicks. They want the Knicks to pay the premium. And I'm really not interested in doing that. So what did the Knicks do? Well, for one, we won't have to wait too long to find out. Because the NBA draft happens in the other borough, Brooklyn. Get it? Nets. Get it? We'll talk about the Nets in a second. But the NBA draft happens in just 2 days. And the Knicks actually have a legitimate option to replace Mitchell Robinson coming out of this draft. The Big East Player of the Year, the Defensive Player of the Year from right here, St. John's. His name is Zubi Ejiofor, if you didn't know. And he is projected to get picked in the Knicks' range. And again, the Knicks have number 24 overall. Here's a big guy. He's got a 7'2 wingspan. He's elite at shot blocking and high-volume offensive rebounding skills. I mean, if you look at this, this is the prototype of Mitchell Robinson 2.0, really. And you know how much money number 24 overall picks make? Well, just $3.1 million, which would be one-fifth of the cost of Mitchell Robinson's projected AAV. No pressure on Cat, no pressure on Hart to take less money. Bring in this rookie, and everyone's happy. This is a real possibility for the Knicks. And lucky for us, in just 2 days' time, the strat, as the kids say in my class, the strat is about to leak. We are going to be able to unravel the Knicks' offseason strategy just based on the fact, which position do they look to upgrade in round one of the draft? Do you, option one, draft a potential Robinson replacement and let him walk? Or do you, option two, ask Cat and or Hart to take a hometown championship discount like Captain Brunson did, the King of New York, to keep this team intact? I have a feeling in my heart of hearts and in my brain, they both agree that number two is going to win out. Minnesota could not afford to keep Karl Anthony Towns for the same reason in that business trade. Does he really want to relive it now with a different team? And what about all those Giannis trade rumors that he did not appreciate and did not like this season? And also factor in the fact that the Knicks had the opportunity to extend Karl Anthony Towns at the beginning of the season, and they didn't. So does that piss Cat off to the point where he wants to go elsewhere now? I doubt it, because winning a championship with a team that looked to have such a, from the outside, looked to have such a brotherhood as that team did, winning a championship will do that to you. You want to stay. You want to run it back. And I think Cat, who was just in Times Square serving for some food company behind the counter, is going to be just fine making up the money in endorsement deals right here in New York City. And by the way, he's eligible for a three-year, $208 million extension. So do the math. Instead of making $69.3 million per year, would he agree to like somewhere in the range of $59.3 to $62.3? If that meant keeping the band back together? I mean, look, I know I'm not in that situation, and I will never be. But if I just won a championship with my hometown team, from New Jersey myself, and all it took was $7 to $10 million in pay cut each year to try to run it back on that contract, I can speak for myself, I'm doing it. I'm a hustler, and I know I would make that money up elsewhere. $7 to $10 million, easy money, man, easy. Coming off a championship. And I think that's the same for Josh Hart, who has his Big Money Roommates podcast with Brunson. And I'm sure now that they're champions, they are in a position to now leverage for a new deal and bigger money, maybe even to the tune of the Kelce brothers' New Heights, tens of millions of dollars. I mean, Hart could probably make up any potential earnings losses, quote-unquote, on the back end somewhere, too. I'm not worried about it. And I understand completely that players have a small window to maximize their earnings. And I totally understand and respect that. With already generation-altering money on the table and in my pockets, proverbially, I could tell you that I personally would be all in on winning another championship. To quote Aaron Boone, it's right there in front of them. And where there's a will, there is a way. So I checked out Vegas's odds for next season just a couple hours ago. And the Knicks, at the moment, have the fourth best odds to win it again next year at plus 800. And I thought to myself when I read that, man, the disrespect. Because the odds are in this order. Best odds to win the championship next season, the Thunder. Second best odds, the Spurs. Followed by number three, the Celtics, and then number four, the Knicks. And then there's a far, far drop off after that. So I think that this Knicks team deserves a chance to go and run it back. Team over me and pull it together, guys. Because I know that the last team to repeat as champions were the Golden State Warriors. I know that every championship since 2018, the NBA has had a team win it. That was not a repeat of the year prior. 9 consecutive seasons of new, quote-unquote, new champions. So will the Knicks do it again? You know what? I believe that Leon Rose has earned the trust from, I believe, the players themselves and definitely the Knicks fans. And I believe that Leon Rose finds a way to put together a roster under that second apron mandate from James Dolan right here in this studio. And I believe Rose finds a way to make it happen again next season. I think he's earned that trust. And to answer the question that I just posted online, on Twitter, in fact, at Coach MCCARTAN, will the Knicks repeat as NBA champions next season? Right now, 72.7% of you are saying yes. And I got a response back from Andrew Freeman. He wrote, absolutely. With 3 exclamation points. And I could not agree more. 888-808-1019. 2 questions for you. Do you expect another one from the Knicks? And can they do it?